Making order out of chaos, that is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
I would like to welcome you again to Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and I'm thankful that you've joined us today as we again take up this exciting subject of gospel worship. Yesterday, if you remember, we left off with that wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul said, "Be separate. Come out from among them, says the Lord, and be separate." Now that was a direct calling in the worship of God. Whatever we do, we are to be separate from the world. It is a sense that when we come before the presence of God, there is a certain reverence, there's a certain fear, there's a certain awe that must be there, for we know that this is a God who is a consuming fire because of sin and has made a way for us to come before Him through the sacrifice of His Son. And so worship should be with reverence and awe, great reverence and awe. That poses a great challenge for us today when so many have adopted the model of ministry to be aimed for the seeker. For somebody, of course, who is seeking, and so we have redesigned and re-implemented worship to sort of make the seeker feel comfortable. Anything that thrown out is fins must be thrown out. But here we're again approaching the wonderful task as gospel preachers to ask, what has God required and what does He demand of us? If that which He has chosen looks like foolishness to the world, does it really help sinners along the way to bring them into something that does look like the world? What is worship? Is what we do in worship a matter of preference? Is style neutral? Or has God specifically commanded what our services should look like? These are very, very important questions. Has God told us how He wants to be worshiped, or is it a free-for-all? And can we say emphatically that God has prescribed for us in His Word the way that He desires for us to come before Him? Well, in order to set the background a little bit, I want to share with you something that I witnessed at the Crystal Cathedral in a worship service. I'm not here to ridicule everyone else, but I am here to ask, what does God's Word say about worship? And as I turned on the television and watched the worship service, I first heard the song, "To God Be the Glory," a wonderful song indeed. But then right after the song, they brought out Dr. Phil, a secular psychologist, and they discussed for the majority of the service his number one book on love and marriage. And then a piano man was brought out, and he gave a great performance. And right after that, they offered a music box for a gift of $250. And finally came the message. And the message, the gist of it, was something like this. In it, he said that John Calvin said at one time we were insufficient. But in our new Reformation, we are beyond that. And the new Reformation is that we have to have self-love. We have to learn to love ourselves, and then we'll reach our potential. And then he exposited a section of Garth Brooks' song, "Sometime One of God's Greatest Gifts Are Unanswered Prayers." Now, as I looked at that, there were a lot of things racing through my mind, but immediately after that, they pointed the camera to the congregation, and flashing before my eyes were hundreds of faces. And I thought to myself, can they be so deceived? They're sheep without a shepherd. They're being carried right into falsehood. And I longed for them. I longed for their souls. They had just sat through an entire service that came together in the name of Christ. But friends, hear this. There was nothing by way of separateness from the world. Their service was a service with the world on stage in a robe. What's happened? That people would think it's okay to have a secular psychologist give moral instruction in the service and the worship of God, and then make a pitch to sell a music box. Didn't Jesus react to such things by overturning tables? If we're being ushered into the presence of God, be separate means recognize, friends, that we are on holy ground when we come before Him. And continue to have a burning passion to break away from ourselves and to worship our King in the beauty of holiness, as the psalmist says. Well, it's my conviction that we need to go back to the Bible. When we do that, we will find that God has told us exactly how He wants to be worshiped. And that only makes sense. It's about Him and not about us. The passage that I have in mind and want to work through a little bit today is the passage in Leviticus 10 with Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu, of course, were the sons of Aaron, the first high priest. If you remember, the priests were the official ministers or worship leaders who would represent the people of God. That's what they were. They officiated the worship by offering various offerings and by leading the people to confess their sin. They acted as mediators between God and the people. And as these mediators, they had many commanded responsibilities by God. Now, in Leviticus 10, we find that God had met with Moses in their tabernacle. And we find that the Lord is revealing His will to the Israelites. And the first of these revelations are related to the sacrifices that the people were to make to God. Now, the sacrifice that really concerns us is the altar of burnt offering. This altar was placed in the front of the entrance to the tabernacle. It declared that entry into the presence of God in worship must be preceded by sacrificial atonement of sin, a spotless burnt offering. And we have great detail given by God that the animal sacrifice had to be physically perfect in age and condition. Now, as the priests ministered before God at the altar, they had to make sure that the offerings of the people were correct, to a T, and that the sacrificial rituals were carried out just as God commanded. Otherwise, the people could not be cleansed of their sin until the priests made atonement even for the heir. Now, we know from Scripture that just prior to Leviticus 10, Aaron and his sons had been newly consecrated for the priesthood in a great 7-day ceremony, and you'll find that also in Exodus 29. At this point, the nation of Israel had become so large that their worship needed much instruction and called for additional order to regulate what took place. And so God gave all these detailed commands on how He wants to be worshiped. And these commands were to be followed to a T. It showed their devotion to Him, it showed again their separateness from the nations, and it glorified Him in the beauty of His holiness. And so we find with the construction of the tabernacle, there was this central place where all the people would join together and worship corporately. This would become the model in the Old Testament, the tabernacle as the center place for worship, and then later the temple built by Solomon. Now, as we approach our text, we find that all of the congregation is gathered together and standing before the Lord at the tabernacle of meeting. So Aaron and Moses, they go out in front of the tabernacle of meeting, and they bless the people by raising their hands, and they had a real sense of God's favor, didn't they? Listen to verse 23 of chapter 9. We read that the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat that was on the altar. Now, this must have been an utterly awesome sight. Can you imagine it? Fire came out from before the Lord. It says that the people, when they saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. What did they just witness? God, in His glorious holiness and radiancy and power, gave His stamp of approval. They had done what God had commanded through Moses, and the Lord demonstrated that He was the worthy one for whom they had done all this. He had accepted their worship. The fire came down from heaven was God's testimony of acceptance. It signified his turning away of wrath from them, from their sin. They had this grand rush of emotional excitement, you might say. They fell on their faces and they realized the utter holiness of God. He is a consuming fire, and they saw his glory that day. Listen to what happened in chapter 10. It makes us all rethink how we approach God in worship. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered a profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now we have to realize the mood of the people as this was taking place. Great joy and spiritual excitement had filled the camp, and not to mention how excited they must have been to see two of their own new priests consecrated to the priesthood. In fact, it was the very first day as priests, for they had just completed their seven-day ceremony. Excitement. Joy. What great joy for the people. They had been blessed. Fire had fallen on their sacrifice. New priests. And all of the sudden, friends, these two new priests are consumed by God himself. Within a short time, the very same one who had accepted their offerings consumed them with the same fire that consumed their newly consecrated priests. Can we understand the sorrow and terrified and the scare that hit the camp that day? The real question that surfaced is this: what happened? What did they do wrong? Why is God angry? That's the same issue for us. Why were they consumed? Well, friends, as we look at this text, the issue that is before us is that they offered something in worship that God had not commanded. And it profaned his holiness. Now, I know most people would hear this and they would say, that's the Old Testament. In the New, God has given us freedom. But I remind you of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The New Testament maintains the same message, and it says when we come before God in worship, we have to remember he still is a consuming fire, and if he is, then there are ways that we can still profane him in his holiness. We must consider carefully how we are worshiping God, and is it glorifying him by all that we say and do and how he has commanded us in his word. We're going to take this up tomorrow, but let us ask today, is our worship separate from the world? Is it honoring his commandments? And is it advancing and seeking for his glory alone?
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. And as you contact us, remember, we're available on this radio station in part through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us financially and prayerfully, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station, encouraging you and others in Christ. Would you prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? We thank you in advance. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.